So everybody liked it?
Yeah. I think you walk away getting something from that movie. It's very rare that that happens. So, I want to show it, like, on a big projection screen, as big as we can make it.
So,
and then have everybody in the, you know, the group watch it. Awesome.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just getting one second.
They got the dark and the light, like, so perfect. Mm-hmm. They got the intermingling of the Gaia mind and how the Gaia mind uses insects and you know, how it relates to that level. And
yeah, well, what was it with the insects and snakes and shit?
That's Gaia consciousness. You know, the Earth doesn't think like we think, you know? And you know, all of those things represent the recycling of life, your flesh. It's intimidating to us. It's dark, but it's not really dark or evil with that. It's just, it's your fear of fear.
And what did the Indian guy mean when he said, "I've been looking all over the universe to find you"?
He meant that quite literally.
How so?
His mind was searching for him. The guy was somewhere really far away, like distant. And
that's why he was unconscious?
Yeah. Because his body was unconscious, but his mind, his spirit, his consciousness was somewhere else.
What happened to the bad guy?
He got consumed in the darkness.
Okay.
And so he died physically.
Oh yeah, his eyes closed.
I just thought it was interesting the way that the guy, he incorporated the snakes and the centipede into the representation of the force also, which is where Gaia tricks you into still staying there.
Yeah, yeah. But you can remember his point of view, where he's coming from. He hasn't gone to the tip top.
And it made me wonder the question immediately. I'm like, yeah, are there shamanistic schools out there that just really, you know, just are very secretive perhaps that do follow it into the cosmos?
Well, they do take it into the cosmos, but everybody's consumed into the Earth guy
ultimately
through their path. Yeah, there's no way around it.
Unbelievable.
I think that they manage sometimes to be able to travel the outer fringes, but eventually the Gaia consciousness consumes them. Yeah.
I reflected on what you said about the kind of first three stages of the planets of light.
Yeah.
And can some wordless way could understand what you meant, like when it went into that, just everything.
But
changed.
When you see all the complexities, and it's free, that's what I see when I push through different dimensional planes. It gets crazy. That's why I get like these, like I'm like, you know, and then I have to like stutter because I'm holding all this data and I'm compressing, you know, and that's the first time I've seen something that I could say, oh, there, that's my headache. There, look.
And it kept going too. It changed complexities.
Yes, constantly in change.
Then it went into darkness.
What did I always say? Nothing is still. Everything's in motion. Everything's in motion. Even now, everything is in motion. There's no such thing as still. So, well, I thought it was phenomenal. And I don't think your experience was like that when you guys did your thing. I mean, I think it was very different, the you know, versus the root.
No, I wasn't there at that time.
Oh. Matt?
It was very different than that.
See? And I knew it. When I was scanning you guys, I, like, knew. I was like, this is, like, not the same place.
No, it's not.
Yeah. That is when you use the root. That's, like, it gives you all that Earth DNA programming in your brain. Just makes it go holographic, and that's your experience, really.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get any of the, like, a really thick snake, centipede,
earth-bound
shit. All the DMT trips I've read about don't include that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Except for a person, if a person has, like, strong shamanistic background, or, like, you know, South American exploration background, then they'll incorporate a little bit in, but usually not with DMT, they said.
No, if you do the root, You'll fully take that
it's
in.
It's embedded in the DNA.
It's embedded in it. I've seen the snakes. I've seen everything that was in there. Right. I let all the insects eat me.
I was just like, okay.
And I just let them eat all my flesh. Right. And I was just like, yeah, I could see them eat my body, my eyes, and everything. And then when it got to the point where it was trying to sink me, then I was like, And I was like, no, you can't have my frequency. You can't absorb me. I said, you can have the flesh. It's yours. Have it. I was like, yeah. Didn't bother me at all. You know? And I was like, yeah, I'll die. Lit. Fine. But when it started to pull me, and I could feel it tugging on my other energies, and then, you know, you're kind of a little still drunken-like. You know, you don't have full faculties. You're there, but you're not there. Because you're affected still. But that's when my hyperdimensional consciousness kicked in. And, it is the hyperdimensional consciousness that can't be affected. That's why either you're a powerful navigator and you can go on that journey, but if you have a babbler and you're still babbling now in your meditations, don't even think about going there. Because you're going to get consumed, you're going to be one of these babbling fools, and you're going to become a junkie on it, and it's going to take you in. Even for me, it was very hard getting through certain stages, okay? But it was because I could achieve non-thought, and it couldn't grab onto me. I could have consciousness there, and that's when I took over the whole fucking place. You know? That's when I was like, I'm running the show now. And I took over. And that's when it freaked out, and she hissed at me, and like showed me these like vampire teeth, snake teeth. You know, before she was all sexy and being all like, you know, and she had her snakes, and it was all like, and I was being like, yeah, you know, she's hot. It's cool, you know, you know, and it was just sinking me. I got up to my chest, and then my upper consciousness kicked in and said, no, Eric, this ain't cool, you know. This is your higher consciousness. I'm not using my name because I'm going to record it. And I was like, okay, take over. And I just took over my higher self, and then I was like, root. And she was all like, and the snakes are all, and then like everything was just pissed, and I was just like, you know, I didn't care.
Did the people there with you, did they mention anything?
You know, when you're in that zone, you can't... First of all, I was able to hold a conversation, okay, with them while I was still going through that multitasking. But you've got to understand, you have to be really, really trained. And the Indian guy, he could do that.
Yeah,
you notice he was all, he looked drunk. He was in that zone talking to them, but he could manage both dimensions. And so I was talking to, I won't name names, but, you know, to those people, and they were asking me what was their experience, and I was telling them. So, but at first it started off like an acid trip. And so I was really disappointed, and I said to the female presence there, I was like, well, I'm really disappointed. I said, because it just feels like I just did, you know, blah, 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 amounts of acid and stuff. She was like, oh, I can't believe you're saying that. And I was like, whatever. And then it kicked in.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, eat those words. Haven't been here before. Whoa. What?
How come the snakes and centipedes and stuff, they didn't appear to be doing any damage to his physical body?
That's a very good point.
Why is that?
Because he was showing trust. If he would have feared, do you
trust
see what I'm saying?
To what?
Or if he let the fear consume him, then they would have if consumed him.
And that's what happened to the other guy.
Yeah.
Right. Or you can offer your flesh. It's keep in mind that's a movie, so.
Yeah.
Offer yourself if you're gonna go up. You can see them consume it, but it's not an evil thing. I can't explain it. It's you accepting that your body's going to rot in the earth anyway. When you're dead, this is not who you are. So the second you accept that's not who you are, then the answer is, then why are you holding on to it? I'm not taking it. And if you go, oh, I changed my mind, then you're really not letting go. If you panic, you're not letting go. You're hanging on to your organic self. So that's when you decompose. And decompose is what the insects and everything represent. Because when you decompose, they're taking your flesh and they're reproducing it to the next level of life. What is your body made of? Well, how many plants, how many animals have you eaten since you've been a baby? What are all your cells? Your cells is just a new creation of life from other ones. And you're full of microbes and organisms. And, you know, when you die, you're either going to be eaten or you're going to rot. And you're going to be eaten by microbes and insects that are going to get into your casket, or unless you're cremated. But you should be indifferent. It's not who you are. It's just a machine. So people who can't let go of that concept, that's when they got the dark side starts consuming you, because you start panicking, you start freaking out. You are something they cannot attach to. And that's the realization you have to have, that you're of energy, therefore it can't eat your consciousness. It's like trying to grab smoke. But as long as you hold your consciousness in your flesh, they can destroy you. Do you understand? That's a brilliant statement I just gave.
And you said he was showing trust. What was this trust to?
Well, he battled back and forth in himself. At first he was losing, and then he was sinking into the dark because he was like dying. Do you see what I'm saying? You gotta keep in mind, the movie is not an exact depiction of the real experience. Do you see what I'm saying? So the timing and the sequences, I would probably disagree in certain phases. It was more done for theatrical reasons for the movie. But if you want me to try to put it into a different perspective, that I can, then you have to understand that it's not going to be exactly like in the movie. Do you understand? So. But there was a point where the dark was consuming him, and it was his fear. And then she really reached in and brought him out of that, because she represented like life. He gave up. He didn't feel like he had anything to live for. The dark side ate him. It's fear. Fear creates the black. Do you understand? It sucks the energy out of you. The more you fear, the more you're scared, the more it consumes you. It gives it power. Do you see what I'm saying? So when he seen the light, he focused on the light, and he stopped thinking about his fear, and he started thinking about what he had for love. And then the love grew into that and spread outward. And his consciousness was no longer thinking about what was consuming him or why he was afraid. He could only think about one thing, what he was experiencing, which was that vibration she was communing to him.
It's interesting that she was oblivious to him until the shaman appeared and said, you know, be mindful or remember. And
yep.
Then she kind of popped in or whatever. I thought it was interesting. Tech support popped in for that.
Yep. Tech support.
That's right. That's a great training movie.
Oh, it is. It's very good. But it demonstrates what I guess the point that I want to get across is this. This is why you trained. This is why you meditate. This is why you wax on and you wax off. This is why you do what you do. Because if you're going to journey or let your mind go into these deeper places, you don't need to take a drug to go there. There's been people who have already gone there with no drugs. You have DMT in your brain. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. You do, naturally. Okay? It can be triggered and does get triggered, and that's what allows your consciousness to leap out. Okay? So that's fact. We have natural DMT in our body, okay? And there's quantities of it, okay? So I believe when people go into certain trance states and they say they have these experiences, I think the DMT allows your organic body to trip into higher dimensional frequency, and that's what allows your mind to leap. But it takes great training to sustain and journey and move, and hence this is why I call it the navigator. It's like I was saying in Dune, when the navigator moves through time and space. It's they've trained their mind not to have thought. The second you have thought, it's like wait, and you drop out of those highway lanes. You drop back into this dimension. The longer you can have non-thought, but have thought, you get what I'm saying? Because it's still thinking. People think that you can't think. No, you're purely thinking. It's higher level of logic. You're aware of everything, okay? You just don't have to use words to slow you down by defining stuff. So when you can hold that and you're disciplined, then you can move in those dimensions. Do you see what I'm saying? So for him to be able to have moved in those places, he has to be able to sustain the navigational state of consciousness. If he can't sustain that, he'll fall out, and that's where your training comes in. Everything I teach teaches you to do all that. So when I took that huge amount, because it was an enormous amount I took, she was like, oh my God, stop, and I drank the whole thing. I didn't know anybody. I liked the taste of it. She was shocked that I liked the taste. She says, most people don't like the taste of it. I was like, nah, this tastes good. And probably it's nasty to everybody. It tastes like liquid, like if you stuck a 9-volt on your tongue, it's like a jar of that in liquid form. Okay, that was an excellent description.
And you don't like the beer that...
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't mind that at all. And she was like, that's like enough for like 4 people or something. And I was like, really? I was like, well, it's a little late now. And everybody throws up. I never threw up. I kept it all down. So it was like, really, really potent. And I was like, let's go. Give me the seatbelt. Strap up. Let's go. And so I just tuck it on hardcore. And, you know, I mean, I handled it like she said, like no one's business. She says, you know, there's people who do it 80 times, 100 times, and they're not able to be able to hold a conversation and be in that deep zone, you know? But that's from my training. I adapted instantly, you know? And I remember walking around in there thinking, oh, these are interesting places. And I was going through the Gaia mind in a way I hadn't been in there before, you know? But I remember, you ever see the movie, not the movie, the painting? And it's kind of like a Greek surreal picture. I like a lot of his artwork. And they're like the girls, they're sitting, like laying down, looking down over the valley, and like their foot will be up, and they have like the Greek dress on, and it's kind of like flappy, and it's... I forget his name. It's a certain artist. You remember the I think he does the same art that I had up in my office.
Blowing the bubbles?
Yeah, but he did some other one. They're like Olympus, I almost call it, huh. You know? It's like goddesses and gods, but not goddesses and gods. It's like they have these like really flat like cement spots, and there's water in there, and it shows the reflection of the sky, and then there's mountainy like on the sides of it, and it shows them kind of like just laying down, enjoying like life with the golden beams of sunlight coming down, and they're all like youthful and beautiful. Now you guys aren't kidding. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, there's no point in me trying to take you deeper into it.
Well, just your other painting.
Anyway, it created a place like that, and it was, and I knew that it was like a place for like higher dimensional gods, like. And I was invited in, and I was like, "Oh, cool!" So I was walking around, and everybody was there, and they were kind of like mentally nodding to me, and I nod to them, and I looked over, and there's this wall with ivy growing all over it. And I looked over more, and I see these, like, glass steps, like, three of them. They're, like, not made out of glass, but, like, energy. And you're not supposed to see them. And then I seen behind the ivy, there was a clear door. And as soon as I put on it, they're like, oh, no, you can't go in there. And I says, well, there's nothing here that interests me. And they were like, oh, like, I was supposed to be, like, amused with them. And then I was like, eh, like, I let this frequency out. And they were like, whoa, like, they do. And I walked up to the staircase, and I was like, oh. I'm going in, and like nobody can go in there. I says I am, and I went in. And it was a whole nother level. So, yeah. So, well, I don't think you guys can appreciate it. There's not a point to explain it all. It's just, you know. I think you have to earn certain things to appreciate them. It's one thing for me to tell you these things. It's another that you have to understand them in great depth. You have to understand that where I was. They assume that I would assume that it's like being in this room, and that I would be blown away, that I could sit there and I'd marvel at them, and they're so pretty, and there's this whole place was so pretty. It was like pillars with big beams that would, you could still see the sky, but there were like beams in between, and had vines all growing with leaves and figs coming off of them, and you could reach up and like get grapes, like big healthy grapes, and you could see the sky, and I remember seeing it was like orangey and pink and blue, like out of just beautiful. And then there was these little birds that would fly around every so often, and it was like harpy music almost playing, but very modern version of it. They were like gods and goddesses walking there. They were like the epitome of people who've evolved mentally, and that's what it was. And I looked at it, and I seen it for what it was, and then I seen it like you would look like Neo would and could see the Matrix. And I could see that it was all just an illusion. And then I was amused by the fact that they thought they had reached this level, and I was like, no, it's not real, you know? And they're all like, what? You know, and that's when I kind of, like, threw this energy out, and I was like, dude, and I scrambled them. Scramble means I frequency blew them out. Not that I did it to them, but I moved myself out of their range, but I had to stay in the coding until I walked through that door. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So the coding was spiraling in concentrations towards me, because that was their lower frequencies in that dimension, like we're talking now. Right. But if I was to look through you, I would see frequency-sized energy, because you're holding your tube, your pillar. You understand?
Yeah.
And I just kept going deeper and deeper in through all the coding dimensional levels that are like barriers for Gaia, and that's when Gaia eventually had to present itself to me because I pushed through all the doorways.
That's when the lady appeared after that?
Yes. There was a lot of stuff that happened up to that point. Yeah. And that's when she was all standing there, and where I was like, you know, I would call it a forest, but it really wasn't a forest, it was a jungle. It was very lush, and she looks just like this statue. The statue where it has the lady, she has in her hands two snakes, and that's how she appeared to me. Beautiful. And she, you know, I remember seeing her breasts and stuff. She had like little soft loincloth going over just the edge of it, but lots of cleavage. Firm. She was of, Spanish descent, I would say. She had, like, nice, beautiful dark hair, brown eyes, which, you know, I'm attracted to, you know, for I like dark hair, dark skin. Beautiful body, snakes in her hand, and she was just looking at me. She don't talk. It's empathetic. And she was just like, you know, like, I love you, you know? And it was, like, just this love vibe. And I could see in the jungle there was movement. And I looked and I seen all the jungle and you can't see the movement. And I knew there was movement. So I you know, used my mind again to see it there, and I could see all the snakes moving. Like, they don't move like this. Do you get what I'm saying? It's more like you can see the pattern almost move a little forward and backward, a little forward and backward, but it's moving forward, like it's moving. And everything's slithering. And it's a lot of, like, snakes everywhere, but it's all under it's like disguised. Like they look like the jungle, but it's snakes.
Feels like snakes. Well, yeah. It had a good visual in the movie when it was made out of space.
Fantastic.
And everything. Yeah.
And so everything was beautiful. So she was like, I mean, it was a front to stop me from going any further. And she didn't want me because I was now going to go step. It was like steps, like floating stones in mid-air, and each one was a step. They were flat stones, but not square, just floating. And everyone I stepped was like a level that most people make it to, and they get stuck there. And this is why you always see the people who do ayahuasca, they always have the big eyes, you know, when they're not doing it no more, because they're stuck in a certain plane that is very earthy. And it's all about earth love and love this and love that, and it's like they're stuck there biochemically, but their mind is stuck in that place. So I was just crashing all these doors, finding all the doorways to get through, and I was banging them out like really fast. And so the final one was there, but I knew what was behind her was home. Okay, so I was like, you know, okay, so all of a sudden I'm getting like seduced. And I got up to all those levels psychically, not in hyperdimensional consciousness yet, not my real self yet. This is just me, how good I am psychically, okay? And you gotta remember, I was really top of my game those days. So when I got up there, all of a sudden I found myself sinking into the ground, and it was like a warm, thick, very like someone hugging and holding you, like. You know, and it was very loving, and I could see her like rocking and just, you know, like seducing me. And then I got up to like this deep, you know, and I knew if I went all the way in, that was it. My consciousness would have been locked into the Gaia grid, and that's so intensely powerful. Do you get what I'm saying? That once you're in, you're not getting out. You're
all
done.
Steps combined.
Yeah, and so she came to me personally. That's you know,
right.
You're taking on the Gaia mind now. Now you better, you know, you've got a problem. And so, but you got to understand, all of the other planes I went through real fast were the ancients. Those were their conscious dimension for that particular plane. And I went through their mind, or their reality of their consciousness that created them to become that I, or that ancient being. Do you understand? So I was banging through all of them. That's how I got to know them all. And so when I finally hit her, she was the collective. She was the middle pillar. And so it almost got me. Almost. And then I was like, no way. You know, I was, and then I just pushed it. It was like, and all the snake heads just were, you know, and they all were coming at me. And I was just like, dust. And I was like, and then I just moved up to the next plane. And that's when the tones came in. And the tones were home. I knew what the tones were. And I walked in, they were just panels of light glass, shades of pink and shades of yellow, and I moved through them, and each pane of glass I went through, it wasn't a glass, it was a frequency, was just like God washing me, like, okay, you're home, you know? But I had to leave the ayahuasca consciousness, and I escaped out of a back door. Do you understand? So that's what happened. That's really what happened. So when you see him go into the gold light, that's when I was like, no shit, very good, you know? So, yeah. And you can remember, I went into it not knowing anything really about, you know, ayahuasca. But I can definitely see how even very advanced people can get wiped out, and that's why they wander their whole life in that level, that frequency lock then, you know? They become addicted to it. It's an obsession. And remember how much it affected me organically. The only reason I could operate was because I knew my higher consciousness was constantly working. It took me 6 months for me to get it to pop out. That's how addictive it was. I remember it popping. I remember this pressure right in my head. It was like a bottle cap. When you twist it, it goes pop. It was like in there, and I kept wanting to get at it, and there was nothing I could do, and I kept feeling it, and for 6 months, and I kept feeling this lovey kind of thing, and I was just like, you know, no, it ain't real, and then one day I was driving, and I just said, I had it, and I was just like, mentally, just going through there, and I was just, and then I felt pop, and it was like a big dimensional relief, and I went, finally, normal, and then it was out of me. Anybody else wouldn't have been able to survive through that. They would be a junkie on it. So, there you have it.
How many people that you train have that pressure in there and they can't even feel it? Like, is it a part of just being in the dough?
So what do you mean, how many people I train that have that?
Like your students, like, that have gone into these places and have come back down to kind of a normal, like...
No, does that feeling, it's those people that you see that have all the earth love, that do all the ayahuasca,
right,
and they're all like, feel the love and all this. They got that pressure in there, and they've accepted it as being theirs. They don't have enough higher consciousness to feel it.
So it's the root.
Yeah.
I see.
It's what locks them into that frequency. I recognize it because I'm very conscious of my energy field. Now it's just like, it ain't right, it ain't normal. It ain't right, it drove me nuts. I like certain things that I learned from it. It made me more compassionate. I think it made me more patient. It helped me in the sense to understand what it is to be a little bit more human, and I think that was a part of my life that I mellowed out a little bit more. And I did carry that away and still have that, and I still appreciate that one thing that I got out of it. So I do feel I did get something out of it. The price is very high. I mean, I was lucky not to pay with my whole life. My life would have been that. I would have. And any white cell has a very, 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 very high addictive level to any hallucinogen, chemical, drug. It will suck us in 2 seconds. We try it, we're like, wow, like that! You know, and then do more! We don't even think about it. We do more! And then we're done. And that's why I always say there's oceans of white cells lost to these things. They're dead. It's very, 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 very rare to find white cells that haven't been wiped out by hallucinogenic drugs, heroin, alcoholism, all of those things. You know? That's why I say don't fuck around with that stuff. Train naturally and you're going to be much more powerful. You know? But they get impatient. Most of them are very impatient. And that's what destroys them in the end. Most people who become ayahuasca junkies and stuff never met anybody like me. They've never been exposed to my teachings. If they're exposed to my teachings first and they're achieving stuff like in between and everything else, I think that is what is their saving grace. Otherwise, I think that they would fall into that very easily, or they get lucky and they don't fall into it. So. But I know that most people on ayahuasca who've done it long enough want to stop, and they can't, because it's an addiction. They've told me so. I mean, you know, I got in with that whole group, so I really got to hear a lot of stuff. And they tell me that it's run like a cult. Most of them are addicted to it. They can't stop doing it. The ones that have some control, want to quit, and they just don't know how to stop. And so when they start listening to my stuff, they think they know it all. They think they're so advanced. And then like Sky and Blue, when they met me, they were just like when they finally let the guard down and we hung out enough and they started to listen to what I had to say, they couldn't believe that I knew so much about what they knew. Do you see what I'm saying? Down pat. And they were kept asking me, "You sure you didn't do these things? You sure you're not doing ayahuasca?" And I was like, "No, never touched it, da da da." But they kept saying, "How do you know that? How do you know that?" And I says, "All that's like level one." And they're like, "What do you mean?" They never got to level two. Most people listening to my material are like level 10. So it really is minimalizing, but it's the chemical addiction that keeps them addicted to keep looping on that level. Do you see what I'm saying? It gives you something, but there's a price to pay, but it takes away the fact of you knowing there's something more. It removes the ability to be aware that there's something more.
Right.
It's wicked smart. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're biting your own tail, but it removes the fact that you can remember where you've been before. It's like you have short-term memory. So every time you go to the same place again, it looks like it's a new place, but it's the same place you've been every far. It's like a dream. It's like a dream. In a dream, you wake up, you realize in your dream, why can't I run faster? And then all of a sudden you're running again, you've forgotten why you can't run faster, and you're back to slow motion again. It seems perfectly normal. Same thing, just more complicated. So, and it kept looping me on each level, and right away I realized what it was, so I would find like the next door. And you can understand a door isn't really a door. I had to make the door so that I could get myself through to the next level, because there isn't a door. And you guys will look for a door, but you'll never find it. And you're going to be wondering where the door is, and then you're going to forget there's a door, and then you're going to be in the loop.
Yeah, that's where
for me, I just make the door because I broadcast it out so that I, because I get bored where I'm at. I realize what it is.
It's like it's my.
Do you understand?
Which is like the game.
Yeah, in a way, yes.
Like it's my hallucination anyway.
Right. But I can realize that, but most people can't realize that. And they think that they will realize that, and that's right. The cockiness and the ego, yeah. And it says, sure, right. You'll know. You'll have perfect. It tells you anything you want to hear. It, believe me, it knows better. It's like a 6-year-old trying to play a poker game with a 50-year-old who plays all the time. You know, it's just like, yeah, sure, you'll have full control. Come on, you know, you're gonna rub my ass ragged. I'm scared of you. Come do me. You know, it's like dum da dum dum dum. So, I really train people, it's the hard way, but it's the fast way, and it's the best way.
Seriously.
So, and people who really apply what I teach will have these huge breakthroughs. That's more intense than ayahuasca. Believe me. How is it possible that they can have those experiences with nothing? Do you get what I'm saying? That's the point I'm trying to make.
The interesting thing is it's harder and the experiences are fleeting, like time period, but the depth and the density of what's in there is a lot more than the ayahuasca. The ayahuasca takes 8 hours, so they value or whatever.
It takes more than 8 hours.
Right. Yeah. And the chemical aspect of it.
Any other questions? Questions? I guess we're done.
So what about doing that stuff with guidance, with a teacher?
Well, you know, I don't trust anybody but me, as you know. I think all the other ones are all corrupt. They get people to do it, and then they control it with it like an addiction, and they become like heroin dealers. And people, you know, they tell you you can't get addicted to it. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's highly addictive. Highly addictive. Even I had to, that's why I promised myself I wouldn't do it for 1 year, no matter how bad I wanted to do it. And I wanted to do it right there and then again. And I know what kind of willpower I have. Okay, you guys have got fucking shit willpower compared to me. So I know that they get people to do it, and most people will end up getting sucked into it. You know?
What about a teacher like you?
I don't want to comment on that, you know? But, I mean, of course the answer would probably be yes. But it's it would not be legal, and I wouldn't really recommend it at this stage of the game anyways being something necessary. It could be more destructive than useful at this point. So why flirt with disaster, Matt? Why are you flirting with disaster? No, you already know the answers to all these things, so why do you keep flirting with disaster with everybody here?
I'm actually curious, like, if 500 years from now, you know, we're all long gone, and just information for people, like, later on, people that understand the scariness of it.
They'll create. They're gonna create ayahuasca in an artificial simulation anyway.
Huh.
So.
What about those looping states of consciousness you were talking about? Like that loop. Can you hit that? Just pushing your mind dimensionally. Can you get stuck in those loops?
Like, what do you mean without ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Just absolutely. People do it all the time. That's when I yell at you and want to smack you. And I get fed up with people. I think people get into their own spiritual loops in different ways, their life cycle loops. I think people constantly are in loops. It's what I call sleeping. What difference does it matter what loop you're on? If you're on any loop, you're still asleep then. The idea is this, is that most people without any training will get into one loop and they'll never understand what a loop is. The fact that you can conceive what a loop is means you have that much more chance of realizing that you're in a loop. And the fact that you can realize you're in a loop is what liberates you, is the realization of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The point is how long can you hang on to your realization that frees you? Before you fall back asleep and you've forgotten about your realization and you're in the loop again. That's where the mind power comes in. I don't doubt for a minute that you won't realize that you're in a loop. Most people won't. They just, that's it. They're stuck in that zone mentally. You'll recognize you're in the loop. You'll free yourself. But it takes navigational skill to keep yourself from falling back into it. Because it doesn't give up. It's going to be who's stronger. Whose will is stronger? Yours or its? Do you see what I'm saying? If you think, oh, I made it, and you're like, you relax for a second, it goes, and then you're fucked all, even worse. Do you understand? You can't let go. Notice the hands. You guys are missing the hands. My mind's going there, and I'm already going in my mind, reflecting with my, that's a very unique thing I just did. Okay? Nobody caught that. Here I am pointing it out. You go into your consciousness, and you have to maintain your consciousness, your higher consciousness, that's constantly aware that it's a loop. And that takes, it's like turbulence. It's like you're going to break up, but you hold it together. You hold it together. You hold it together. You hold it together. Because if you give up, you're sucked in, and then you're done. So you've got to be like Kung Fu master, man. You got to be able to hold it. And you guys would be like this. Me, I'm like this. Because I understand non-resistance. I can move in that way. Do you understand? That's what takes practice. It's just the same thing that I said to you and to George, what I tried to get you guys to do when you guys were in the game. It's no different. The problem is you guys babbled. The problem is you got too caught up in your emotional, and you got into the loop of that dimension, even though you knew there was something more. It wouldn't let you in because you wouldn't let go of the dimension that was holding you there. Does everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have let go of it, you could have kept non-thought, you could have seen what was really real. You only were shown what the program was willing to show you because you couldn't let go of that program mentally. You have to let go of it. And you knew there was something more, you just couldn't let go of what you had. Just because you know there's more doesn't mean you get in. You have to let go of it. You have to have non-thought. You have to... It's like holding your breath and walking through a room with gas in it to get to the other side. You know you shouldn't breathe, but eventually you give in and you breathe. So. I hope all that makes sense. Whereas, I think most people talk constantly in their head. I have to remind myself that you guys are constantly talking in your heads. It's like, I almost never talk in my head anymore. So when I do it, it sometimes startles me. And I forget often that you guys always are forward thinking. And so I guess, you know, it's like I always have to try to remember stuff like that when I'm teaching you guys. So. Like, what is going on in your heads right now? Are you guys talking in your heads? What are you doing? Are you picturizing stuff? Are you... What are you doing?
Some words going through.
There's no words in my head. There's nothing. There's... It's nothing. There's no... No... Nothing. It's just... When I want to know something, it's... Boom! I just know it. It's like I choose to be aware of something, and I just know it all then. You know? I don't, like, chew on stuff. It just kind of... I just desire it, and it dumps, and it comes out. You guys think, therefore you don't... It doesn't allow it to dump out.
That's not resistance.
The only time I think I talk is when I'm fighting, and I get mad because I feel my organic chemicals getting upset. And then my voice starts coming in, and then I get like I want to, I'm getting mad, and then I can feel talking in my head. I think that's what aggravates me. So it's like, I don't want the things that bring me into that level around me then, you know? I want to, so. I think sometimes I relate to things very alien-like, and I have to stop and think, like, you know? I think most people think I react on things on one level, and they don't realize it's really... Very different experience, I think, for me for a lot of stuff. So. But in general, I don't think I think at all. It's even now I'm like trying to pay attention if I'm thinking, using the word thinking in my head. It's like there's just nothing there.